I come to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, there's that individual again from that country, the Samaritan, cropping up in our gospel lesson this morning. You remember we talked about Samaritans 2 weeks ago. And the reason I want to point that out is because this is the least person, as you're reading the scripture, that you would expect to have a thankful heart, to understand that it is through God that these things took place. Now, you would maybe think that, but I can tell you that the Jews, the other nine, would have definitely thought that. And what's very interesting is there were 10. 10% came back to give thanksgiving. 90% went on about their business. You see, it's an interesting concept. In fact, Barna talks about it in his Pew research, is that over 70 to 90% of the church are absolutely marginal Christians. When you say the church, I mean the church at large. Here we see an example of that. Here are Jews that are on the side of the road. They have leprosy. Yes, they have leprosy. And by the way, it is a terrible disease. And it would separate you from everyone and everything you loved. You were no longer clean. You couldn't go to the temple. You were absolutely an outcast. And there was, at that time, no coming back from that. You literally just disintegrated. And so they're standing off the side and they call out to him, "Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he tells them to go to a priest. Now, he goes tells them to go to the priest because that was the Levitical challenge for them. That was the way it was laid out in Leviticus, that if something like that happened, they were to go to the priest to show the priest that they were indeed clean before they could be allowed in the temple. So Jesus is implying, go to the temple and give thanksgiving for what you've received. Right? But only one returned. He didn't expect to be healed. He didn't think he should have been healed, but he was healed. And so he came back and he gave thanksgiving. Begs the question, do they other nine think that they were entitled to be healed? After all, they were members of the children of God. Wouldn't it make sense that they were healed? The one, on the other hand, is a Samaritan. Now, let's make very clear that Samaritans understood Jewish law. They practiced it a little bit differently. But he came back to give thanksgiving. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? Do they not give thanksgiving as well? You see, the unfortunate thing about this story is it's lived out today. It's lived out in our lives. It's lived out in our culture. It's lived out in our community. As there is a sense of entitlement. This should happen to me. This should be the course that I see laid out in front of me. Often those people are very unhappy, by the way. These are the same ones that when something bad happens, they're really not sure how they should react. Because, to use the cultural context, am I not blessed? Why is this happening to me? I'm not exaggerating, folks. This happens. I hear this. I've done everything I should do. I've read scripture, I pray, I come to the service. And by the way, that's called Pelagianism. If you think you can work your way to a holy life that way, you're wrong. And so there's a certain level of entitlement that's in this story. The nine go about and say, well, I was told to go do this. I'll go to the priest as I'm supposed to go. After all, I am entitled that God should bless me. But it's a Samaritan that had no expectations that comes back and gives thanksgiving to God. Now, what in the world does that have to do with our life? How does that fit into your and my life? Well, as a pastor and as someone who does pastoral counseling and pastoral care, one of the things that I hear more often is, woe is me. I wish I could tell you the number of times I've left somebody and prayed for the individual and asked God to give them a vision of a glass that is half full instead of half empty. Because that seems to be the cultural dynamic, is it is half empty. We're American, we're Christians, we're supposed to flourish, everything is supposed to be all right. I got to tell you, being a former disc jockey and a member of a band, there's all sorts of songs that float around in my head this week. Sam and Dave marched through my head many times. You didn't have to do what you did, but you did, but you did, but you did, and I thank you. I can just see that Samaritan saying, you didn't have to do that, but I thank you. But that does bring a question in our life. What are we thankful for? Are we only thankful for the things that we're faced with that are good? Do we not understand that even the bad things have an opportunity to have an incredible positive impact through our Lord on our lives? When I was in seminary, I had a book that I was given to read before I went to clinical pastoral training in Wilmington. I didn't read it. Well, it's confessional. And it was by an author that I dearly, dearly love, C.S. Lewis. And the name of the book was A Grief Observed. I urge you to read the book. It's a wonderful book. So I took this book with me to Wilmington, and when I would get home from the hospital, I would pull it out and start. And then there were a couple times I threw it across the room because this was not the C.S. Lewis I remembered reading. You see, the book was written after he lost his wife. And so Jack did what Jack always did, is he wrote vociferously. He wrote notes about everything. And so he observed his life in grief. He observed how he was feeling. He was observed what he felt and lost, what he felt in relationships. And there were times I didn't recognize it. And the troubling part of the book was, that's not the C.S. Lewis that I remember. But you see, when we're put under stress, we no longer become the person that most people remember. What happens when we're under stress is the real strength of our faith comes out. Now, C.S. Lewis, true to form, towards the end of the book, I said, yes, this is the C.S. Lewis I remember. Said that when we are faced with things that are difficult, that are too hard for us to understand, they may remove something from us, and I'm paraphrasing, so don't quote me. I'm not quoting it, but if we have things that have removed something from our life that we dearly love or was so important to us, we have no option but to give thanksgiving, to be thankful. Because how different would your life have been had that experience not been in your life? Anglicans have a very unique way of looking at death and burial and life. We celebrate the life of the one that lived, but we celebrate what they have left behind that will continue to nurture us, encourage us, as we walk the walk that they've walked and we face eternity. In fact, C.S. Lewis speaks about thankfulness in this manner. He said, we should always be thankful. Because if something is good, we should be thankful because it's good. If it's bad, we should be thankful out of humility, which should be thankful out of obedience. But we should be ultimately thankful for the promise of eternal life that has been given to us. And you see, that's kind of where the rubber leaves the road. In today's culture, we think that we should have everything the easy way. We have a microwave, you stick it in the microwave, 30 minutes later, 10 minutes later, it's or a minute later, it's ready to eat. You put a packet in water, add a little boiling water, and the next thing you know, you've got grits. Unless you're from the South, that's not the way you make them. Amen, right? You can say that. We do believe that in the Anglican Church. But the point is, not everything is going to be rosy. We can't sing the tune from Broadway, Everything's Coming Up Roses. I think that was Judy Garland that did that, right? See what you get with me? You get a priest and a... My friends, do you want to change your life? Do you want your life changed? And I would be willing to bet you that if you and I met one-on-one, every one of you would say, yes. What can I do? My response is start being thankful. Start from the point of thankfulness. Start from the point of being thankful for the experience that brought you to the point of needing to be thankful. But if we are Christians, at the very, very essence of who we are, notice I said if we are Christians. I didn't say members of the church. If we are Christians, if we are truly Christians in Christ, that's what Christians mean. If we are truly in Christ, then we have experienced victory over life in Jesus Christ. My friends, if you don't have anything else to give thanksgiving for, that is a big T. Because until your baptism, until Christ was in your life, you were dead for eternity. It was the end of the road, Sam. No matter how much you said, I thank you. If you really want your life changed, then we need to start looking at our life with a sense of thankfulness. The small things. Thankful for the small things. That I can see someone's face this morning. There are people all over this world that are blind that can't. The gospel is filled with stories of people who were given sight. When you hear a bird or you hear a song, I don't know what I would do if I couldn't hear music. I would be absolutely gobsmacked. And as silly as it may sound, I give thanksgiving for the be able to hear music and hear God's voice in music that I wouldn't think you would hear God's voice in. Because He is in everything. Which is a tenet for why we should give thanksgiving. He is in all that we have, all that we are, all that we do, and all that we will ever be. And in Him, we do not have to say, this is it. I thank you. And so, my friends, if you really want to change your life, begin your day with thanksgiving. end your day with thanksgiving. Each time you have a meal, give thanksgiving. Every time you are given the opportunity to see a friend that you haven't seen in a while or hear their voice, give thanksgiving. In the last 3 weeks, I've lost 2 people that I knew well. I give so much thanksgiving for having known them. I was watching college football yesterday, and I had a date last night with one of these guys. We were going to talk after every college football day because he was a crazy Ohio fan, and I'm equally crazy Georgia. So last night, I gave thanksgiving for the knowledge that he was in my life. And I could look at it with a different perspective. You want to make your life better? Try doing so through thanksgiving. Spend less time in the world of entitlement and more in the land of humility and thanksgiving. And then consider that you have been given eternal life. He didn't have to do it. He really didn't have to do it. But he did. And we should thank him. Is your life based on thankfulness? Or is your life based on entitlement and expectations that come from that? If it is, disappointment is going to be your trough. And I'm sorry for that. Let us be thankful in the good and the bad, because all things come from God, and all things work for the good for those who believe. My friends, may you be thankful, and may your life be changed through thankfulness.